Pape Satan, Pape Satan Alepe. So Plutus, with his grating voice, began. The gentle sage, aware of everything, said reassuringly, "Don't let your fear defeat you, for whatever power he has, he cannot stop our climbing down this crag." Then he turned back to Plutus' swollen face and said to him, "Be quiet, cursed wolf. Let your vindictiveness feed on yourself. His is no random journey to the deep. It has been willed on high, where Michael took revenge upon the arrogant rebellion." As sails inflated by the wind collapse, entangled in a heap when the mast cracks, so that ferocious beast fell to the ground. Thus we made our way down to the fourth ditch, to take in more of that despondent shore where all the universe's ill is stored. Justice of God, who has amassed as many strange tortures and travails as I have seen? Why do we let our guilt consume us so? Even as waves that break above Charybdis, each shattering the other when they meet, so must the spirits here dance their round dance. Here more than elsewhere I saw multitudes to every side of me. Their howls were loud, while wheeling weights, they used their chests to push. They struck against each other. At that point, each turned around and, wheeling back down those weights, cried out, "Why do you hoard? Why do you squander?" So did they move around the sorry circle from left and right to the opposing point. Again, again, they cried their chant of scorn. And so when each of them had changed positions, he circled halfway back to his next joust. And I, who felt my heart almost pierced through, requested, "Master, show me now what shades are these, and tell me if they were all clerics, those tonsured ones who circle on our left." And he to me, "All these to left and right were so squint-eyed of mind in the first life. No spending that they did was done with measure. Their voices bark this out with clarity when they have reached the two points of the circle where their opposing guilts divide their ranks. These to the left, their heads bereft of hair, were clergymen and popes and cardinals, within whom avarice worked its excess." And I to him, "Master, among this kind I certainly might hope to recognize some who have been bespattered by these crimes." And he to me, "That thought of yours is empty. The undiscerning life that made them filthy now renders them unrecognizable. For all eternity they'll come to blows. These here will rise up from their sepulchres with fists clenched tight, and these with hair cropped close. Ill-giving and ill-keeping have robbed both of the fair world and set them to this fracas. What that is like, my words need not embellish. Now you can see, my son, how brief's the sport of all those goods that are in fortune's care, for which the tribe of men contend and brawl. For all the gold that is or ever was beneath the moon could never offer rest to even one of these exhausted spirits. Master," I asked of him, "now tell me too, this fortune whom you've touched upon just now, what's she who clutches so all the world's goods?" And he to me, "O unenlightened creatures, how deep the ignorance that hampers you. I want you to digest my word on this. Who made the heavens and who gave them guides was he whose wisdom transcends everything, that every part may shine unto the other. He had the light apportioned equally, similarly for worldly splendors. He ordained a general minister and guide to shift from time to time those empty goods from nation unto nation, clan to clan, in ways that human reason can't prevent. Just so, one people rules, one languishes, obeying the decision she has given, which, like a serpent in the grass, is hidden. Your knowledge cannot stand against her force, for she foresees and judges and maintains her kingdom as the other gods do theirs. The changes that she brings are without respite. It is necessity that makes her swift, and for this reason men change state so often. She is the one so frequently maligned, even by those who should give praise to her. They blame her wrongfully, with words of scorn. But she is blessed and does not hear these things. for with the other primal beings, happy, she turns her sphere and glories in her bliss. But now let us descend to greater sorrow, for every star that rose when I first moved is setting now. We cannot stay too long. We crossed the circle to the other shore. We reached a foaming watercourse that spills into a trench formed by its overflow. That stream was even darker than deep purple. And we, together with those shadowed waves, moved downward and along a strange pathway. When it has reached the foot of those malign gray slopes, that melancholy stream descends, forming a swamp that bears the name of Styx. And I, who was intent on watching it, could make out muddied people in that slime, all naked and their faces furious. These struck each other not with hands alone, but with their heads and chests and with their feet, and tore each other piecemeal with their teeth. The kindly master told me, "Son, now see the souls of those whom anger has defeated. And I should also have you know for certain that underneath the water there are souls who sigh and make this plain of water bubble, as your eye, looking anywhere, can tell. Wedged in the slime, they say, we had been sullen in the sweet air that's gladdened by the sun. We bore the mist of sluggishness in us. Now we are bitter in the blackened mud. This hymn they have to gurgle in their gullets because they cannot speak it in full words. And so between the dry shore and the swamp, we circled much of that disgusting pond, our eyes upon the swallowers of slime. We came at last upon a tower's base."